Blog Talk Radio.
This is a calling in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wasn't this the reveal to us in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I? Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I. Bring me my sons and daughters from afar, everyone that is called by my name, Rastafari, in the form of 500 families, to occupy 500 acres of land, to establish a model city to the world, in the land of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian World Federation was established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I. This is not a calling for the United States, it's a calling for all the children of the diaspora.
It's a call.
Our right.
Don't shine a star. Love who you are.
us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in calm ocean turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze.
All right. If it's Sunday night, you know you're listening to the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, local number 26, and the Women's Auxiliary with your host, the lovely Empress Sadie Gomez. Let's give her a hand as she comes to the mic at this time.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Winborn, for your warm welcome. This is Sadie Gomez of Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated for the Woman Auxiliary Local Number 26, coming to you live and alive on this wonderful Sunday evening. There's so much to talk about this evening. And, of course, we discuss topics always where we discuss mainly we want to talk about the truth. So let's just get right into it. There's so much happening, as I said, and I want to address a special topic on the news, but it seems that if we're not paying attention, it will be brushed under the rug. It is so brazen within our faces right now, but it is only there for those who could apply their spiritual eyes. Because as the great books say, we know on Sadie Sunday, we do the scriptures, we do the preaching, but when we speak truth, we speak of the old books. But just to say, there are those that have eyes and see not, ears and hear not, you know. So what we are examining here, we are seeing a lot of sportsmen, young, black sportsmen from various sport arenas, are just dropping down like flies. Is anybody paying attention? Bodies are just dropping. One rapper, I was just going through my news feed and I noticed just last night, he sang about the fact that bodies are dropping. So we are seeing now, and I have spoken about this on this very same show previously, maybe even 2 years ago, probably 1.5 years for sure, that there will be the effects of that JB Jabbers that was given to us. You know, many people drank the joy juice and they had, you know, 2-3 glasses of it. You know, I speak for those that, you know, were brave enough to get there. And there is, in fact, effects because now the period has passed, 9 months has passed, and I did warn on this very show, please pay attention to those who had drank that joy juice. So now we are seeing in the open arena, on the stage, the world stage, bodies are just dropping. Is anybody paying attention? So now it is not mainly older people have heart attacks because we know you have to go through this whole high blood pressure story, a stroke, and then, of course, the heart succumb to it. But you're watching a young, vibrant man. And who is the most healthy man around? The sportsmen, men 20, in their 20-something and 30s, they're the healthiest in the nation. Those men are, you know, energy to burn, but we are seeing them falling apart. So we got to pay attention to what's happening. And then for us to what's happening, I want us to pay a special attention to one sportsman in particular, Damon Hamlin. Now, let us not, you know, go along with all the hype. Now, he's there wearing a jacket with the Jesus behind and all that, which is quite an abomination unto the Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he's trying to mimic. But that's another topic. We're not even going to go there, but we're going with the individual himself. I would like us to please pay attention to what's happening with this individual. Now, this individual officially died on the field. So if we are not paying attention to that, this man died on the football field from a heart attack. But we are watching something is walking around. Are we paying attention? Is this really Damon Hamlin? We are in a very serious time, and I did warn about the serious time we are entering. We have entered into a certain time, a certain age, where the world is not the same as it used to be. It's not our grandparents' world. I'm just telling you all, we are preparing for a certain world. I mean, if we thought AI was bad, well, I'm going to touch that topic with AI just a few minutes from now. But here we are. Please, for those in the listening audience, pay attention to Damon Hamlin. That is not human walking around. Yes, I said so. It's Sadie Gomez. We are doing Sadie Sunday. And, of course, you all know we are speaking truth. It just came out my mouth, and I can bear for what I say. This is an entity walking among us. Let us be careful. We are having a spiritual warfare. So for all those great scientists who's upon the earth right now, and they are performing, those great men who sit in Hollywood and give us movies of things I would just name one, The Predator, please understand what is happening right now. We're in an age where the demons are upon us. They are moving among us simply because the portals have been opened. I cannot help but emphasize, we speak of New Year's Eve, and I just seem to be running all through, but I'm just letting you all know there's a correlation to the things I speak. We see New Year's Eve, we see 2023, and we see that big zero with the light in 9, 8, 7, and everybody drunk and having a good time. That very same zero is a portal that has been opened into the world for the demons to have access to come through. When a demon comes through, a spirit of evil, they have to sit on a horse, which, of course, they have to find a human suitable for. There's many of them running around with portals themselves. And that jibby-jabber allow them many portals and connection into the dark, evil world. And, of course, soon the father of all things, which is another topic, but please observe CERN. Google it if you're not sure what I'm talking about. But I'm giving you some truth. It's City Sunday. Here we are. I hope my audience is filling up nicely so that we can have a topic about it. So I want to talk a little bit, you know, first reflect again. Please pay attention as sportsmen, those who have information or would like to share. I will be willing to share. We have, you know, another good hour and a half of talk. But as we speak of AI, I just want to share something with you. And this is in the news. This is something that actually happened. Again, I'm speaking of sweep under the rug. You know, we do the best 6 o'clock news on Saturday Sunday because, of course, we're digging things up that they would hope that we don't talk about. But this is something that actually happened. This happened somewhere in China or Japan. I'm not sure of the country, and I don't want to quote because I'm not sure. I read it sometime 4 o'clock this morning. I think I was a little sleepy, but I read it. It was so shocking, but this actually happened. 4 robots got out of control, and 29 scientists were trying to disable, but they were able to successfully disarm 3 of them. One robot was able, while disarming, to build himself back, and he shot 29 scientists. Popo, bang, bang, you're dead. I don't know if this news reached mainstream, but this actually happened something like 2 days ago, or even probably 2 days ago for the most. This actually happened. So here we are watching artificial intelligence. It always crossed my mind. I wonder if those little suckers can turn on us, and the answer is yes. 4 of them. 3 was successfully disarmed. 1 was out of control, bent himself back, and the result, 29 scientists lay dead. So we are seeing, oh, the big hype, AI, we don't have to sweep our own house or wash our own dishes. Yeah, we get a robot. Okay, these things can malfunction. The thoughts always cross my mind, and yes, they have. So here we are, again, among us, because we want to be so futuristic and everything else. So we are involving ourselves with all of these strange inventions. Just like in the old days, the father said, they have thought about things that I have not even thought about. So we know man has, here in the 21st century, being led to the council of their own imaginations. So we are observing things as they come. It's on the news. Some things will not make the news. It will be nice to be swept under the rug and hope we forget about it. But, you know, we have the skeptic upon the earth. We have those with the big eyes so far to have placed, particularly to observe certain things which would otherwise not be mentioned or spoken about. But as I said again, it's Sadie Sunday. This is how we do it. We speak the truth. We bring things that are on our mind. And, of course, I am always open for the very debate that for my information, because if it wasn't so, I wouldn't tell you. I try not to bring news just for baggage sake, but I try to filter it myself and go through with most of my cronies, and we don't have time for fake news or falsity simply because there's too much of it going on, as I said. It's not the 6 o'clock news, you know. It's adult news. We're past 6 o'clock. So here we are, speaking the truth on Sadie Sunday. Dr. Winborn, my wonderful co-host, you've been able to tell me what's going on in the studio since I'm unable to watch the board. Let me know how things are falling up over there. Is the queen in yet? Because she's supposed to be.
The queen hasn't gotten in yet.
Entourage has not arrived for her.
The entourage is right. She's waiting on the entourage. Listen, though, you know, but there is one other person in the queue. But before we go to that person, you know, they always try to warn us ahead of time about what's coming down the pike. And when I look at these robots that they have now, these warrior robots, I call them, the ones that they got that's got the guns that you can't kill, that no matter what you do to them, they just get up, roll around, and then just keep shooting their target.
Yeah.
They reminds me of the movie I, Robot that was out some years ago with Will Smith. And in the movies, these robots have done the exact same type of things that you are describing now about what happened with these scientists. And so I'm like, man, this is so crazy. These devils are ingenious when it comes to killing, when it comes to destruction, when it comes to destroying things. They have all type of equipment and gadgets and everything you could possibly think of in order to do that. And so it just is an indication of, like you said, the time. It's that time. We're living in that time. And so the question is, what are we going to do about that time? We still are caught up with petty nonsense and petty games. And we really don't realize that Armageddon has begun. And we are already at war. And we are already dying. Like you said, we can watch them. We're watching people walk down the street and fall out. My neighbor, not too long, 2 weeks ago, walking down the street, fell out, dead. She's going today. The whole neighborhood in shock. Everybody went around and said, did you hear what happened, Sharon? All right. I personally know about six people personally that have died from the vaccine.
Yes, of course.
And so, you know, it, of course, not everyone has, you know, hopefully they won't. I, you know, I stopped talking about it because I didn't want to tell people that did have it. You know, in my opinion, you about to be toast. But when we look around and we see what's going on, you know, some years ago, if y'all remember, there used to be a fella called here called this show named Sergio.
Yes.
Sergio Clark. Sergio passed like about 3 weeks after he got the vaccination. And I talked to him afterwards. He was sounding horrible. And I was like, my brother, I don't know if you should have did that. And he, you know, he kept talking it up. And because, you know, he's a city man, you know, engaged in, you know, New York City politics and stuff. And he, you know, he wanted to give the best light on the situation as possible. But unfortunately, he succumbed to it. But we, you know, when I look around and I see, you are absolutely right. You are absolutely, absolutely right. All right, we're going to go out. I've talked enough. Let me see who we got here in the queue. We're about to open up 929-586. Your mic is open. Welcome to the call. And you say.
Yes, Dr. Winborn, Sister Sadie. Good evening.
Oh,
welcome to the show, brother.
Yeah. Hey, you know, listen, you know, you mentioned iRobot, you know, and Will Smith, but there have been so many other movies, you know, that have portrayed the future. And at some point, the future was then. Okay. And even when they talk about the war of Battle of Los Angeles or you know, these other landings of these spacecrafts and, you know, and stuff like that, and forget so soon that Eisenhower had a meeting with these people, with these entities. There were six or twelve flying saucers flying around the White House in the 1940s. All right, Los Angeles, 2,000 rounds of ammunition was fired at something they couldn't take down, and there were some of the people alive today to tell that. You know, so my mind is open because there's so many things that we don't know, and what I don't know, I can't make a decision on.
Right.
All right. But it is something that, yes, this is a battle. This is a war, and I don't, you know, we talk about Armageddon and so on. Well, that could be a few things. You know, the coming of a god or gods.
Speaking of something you don't know.
You know,
yes, my brother. You know, there's something. As you spoke, I really want us to engage in a conversation because concerning, as you touch upon the topic of the objects being shut down. Just recently in the news, there was 5 different objects that was flying around.
Yes.
Let's talk about that for a minute, shall we?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the balloons? The balloons, yes,
the balloons.
Absolutely.
Well, they identified 2 balloons.
I want us to pay careful attention to the news because the news reported there was a balloon by which one particular body, China, they claim it as theirs. The news, again, particularly reported there were 3 other objects. But
yes.
Who claimed those? Did anyone claim those?
What they said was that the area that these other ones were shot down in was so out of the way and hard to get to, they would have to wait to the spring, you know, before they can get to it. That's a lie, too, you know. So when they get anywhere they want to get, you know. But this is all, they think we're stupid, especially in this century, and especially with what we've seen come to fruition, you know, over my past blah, blah, blah years, you know. And so on. There's things that I've seen, you know, people all over the world seeing things, new species of fish and stuff, you know, being seen. Not new. It just was new to us, you know. I guess these animals were so afraid of white folks they just decided not to come around, you know. But this is true. These things are true, you know. And these deniers and naysayers, you know, I don't know. It becomes political. You know, the scientists are proving it. Some are denying certain things with our Native American, you know, with our indigenous Native people here, you know, and so on. There's a lot out there that we don't know about. But back in the day, 1,400 years ago or 200 years ago, there was no identification for these things except sky people. Now, who's best to know about those things but the people who lived in that time?
Well, my brother, I'm so happy that we are speaking of this topic particularly because this too will be hidden from us as far as what the truth of all this is happening. But one day the truth will be revealed simply because we are in a certain time whereby what was hidden from us for a very long time has to come to pass.
Will be revealed.
And those alien subjects that the government from since, you know, Area 51 that have been in denial, what is happening is the people that have been awoken, and now they want to call them conspiracy theorists, there's nothing of the sort but people who examine things other than the news. Because the government and the governments of the world, they sit with the fallen angels and they take counsel. It was from since a very, very long time. And, you know, it's not a case where we have to not be adult enough to talk about it, but if we should read or even know the book of demonology, we would see that there are certain demons among us. And as we go back to Hollywood, or I should say Hollywood, there is the seat of Satan, and this tells us things for a very long time. Because imagine, there was a movie, and I just don't remember it right now, but it was a case where they spoke of this entity, Astaroth, and this also spoke of Azazel. Now, these demons are high-ranking demons that actually live and function among us. And since they're high-ranking, they are in high forms with the government and men in high places. That's why in the book of Ephesians, it tells us spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness of this world, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. So here we see in this here time where for those who are woken, because, I mean, maybe some people should just go back to sleep, because when you're awake and you start to see things, your heart is now have to be able to be strong, that you faint not when you see the things upon that will come upon the earth, because it is so written that men's hearts will faint for when they see the things that will come upon this earth.
Yes.
So let us be strong. And again, we go back to the book of Ephesians that tells us, be strong and be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So here we are standing before, we are in a very dark place at this time, simply because men have strained so far from the Almighty, and so much evil is upon the earth, because as I said to you, portals are continuously being opened, and that very veil that the Heavenly Father had placed to protect us from the sight of these demonic activities has been taken away and has been lifted. For those, again, who have and could enter within the spiritual realm, who are so adept into doing so, can give you such a report, because there are those of old, you know, but there are those young ones that Father have given the anointing as well, that, you know, we sit and we speak about it, because these things are actually upon the earth right now, and it's some things that we must address. As again, we are asking, where is the church? Where are the pastors? Where are the ministers and men of God? But where are they? They are absent, because why? They have all been bought out, just as in the olden days. Men have... As we say in the book of Lamentations, how has the fine gold gone them? Because they were kings and queens and sitting in high places. Because why? Men had communication with the Almighty. But then again, now, men have started to take counsel from other authorities. And there are other authorities because they are principalities and powers that rule upon this earth. Because this earth, at this very here time, is in the hands of Satan, for we are in the book of Revelation. Shall we not know? Let us observe. When John had the vision, it was not for his time, but for a time of time and half a time, just as in the book of Daniel. So here we are living in that time. So now I leave the floor open for my brothers to join me.
Oh, I stepped away. Did you say something? Forgive me.
Yes.
I got one more really short, quick point. Look at technology and how fast from the 1900s to now, how fast technology, you know, has happened. That wasn't anything strange. That was with help. That's with help. You know, and they don't want us to know that either, but that was with help.
Yeah, well, definitely so, Brother Ronnie, because let us examine, as we speak technology, let us examine within what we are dealing with right now called the social media. Yeah, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, and we have Instagram. Let's take those three for we weren't even going to TikTok, because that's the biggest demon of all. But Facebook, here we are with Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg, and I would bravely say so, Zuckerberg is not human. Zuckerberg is of the reptilian race. His bloodline is not of human. It's reptilian blood. So he has a long tail. So who can see if he walks around, he has a tail. So then we see Bill Gates. We look at men like Elon Musk. We look at Bezos. We look at people who are among us, and we should probably have to blink two times, because they are not human, because they are from a different bloodline. We don't have to make up the story. If we should read a very good book from which we know it is a guideline, the fallen angels came down and they mated with the sons and daughters of with the daughters of men. So therefore, they were offspring. And these offsprings are among us today, and that's the bloodline. Those are the various bloodlines that we see is ruling right now, the very 1% that seems to have everything in their hands. Look at the Rothschilds. Do you think they are human? Of course not. They are from the various bloodlines. And they won't deny it either. You know, so for us, as you say, we are woke. Okay, are you really awake? Do you want to examine these things, or do you just want to go back to sleep? So where are we, and where do we stand? So I'm leaving the mic open to those.
That was, I may have sent you something, you know, that I thought, so this white man, he says, and he's saying on, I think I saw it on YouTube, and this sister was sharing it, and he's saying, you know, white people, you know, are from outer space. We were created in outer space. And then I thought about Yaqub, and so on. And Yaqub, he was sort of stranger than any other human being. So he got angry at his father, said he didn't have the power of his father or something like that. And he created a man that he can control. And this theorem, and if you look it up, it's called the Yaqub theory. Now, Minister Farrakhan was teaching about this years ago, but right now he sort of went away from that. But if you look, it's easy to look up, you know. But there's a lot of things, you know, in high places, you know, spirit, soul, and body. Those are all different realms, you know, that we live in, you know, but we've been too blind to see. We have lost our third eye.
Well, you know, what has happened as well, my brother, you know, it's a case of weakness within the spirit, because when we stray far from the Father and we lose that communication, we are just like the shaft that the wind blew it away. So therefore, you know, if we could, and for most part, we have to be more rooted and grounded. We then, and only then, are able to withstand, you know, as we say, the wiles of the devil. Because if we are not strong, spiritually strong, we are incapable of dealing with Satan, his angels, or his minions. It is very difficult, because unless you're standing really on sure, solid ground with the Almighty, you cannot come up against a demon. No. So therefore, they would rule. They would rule simply because look at the wretchedness upon the earth, as I ask. Where are the churches? Where are the pastors? Mm. Where are men of God who are supposed to be praying, balancing the earth so that when these demonic activities come upon the earth, they shall not prevail? But here we are battling with a few praying people, battling upon the earth in this here time, where the book of Revelation said, you know, Satan will have his time for 7 years, and only because of the very elect, the time has been shortened. But really, look at the time that we are living in presently, and it's going to get worse. And as I said, listen to Sadie Sundays, because you have to get your education right over on the side of town, because the 6 o'clock news is not going to bring it. This will not be televised. So we have to, among ourselves, educate ourselves and educate our children and our people, because other groups are doing it to be able to face this special time. Because in this here dispensation, it is not about guns and knives. It is a spiritual war, because the battle at this time, the battle is the Lord's. So we cannot jump forward and say we have guns and knives. That will not help us, because we have often spoken about it, that the last war is going to be a spiritual war, as in the book of Revelation. Because if we're not paying attention, the four horsemen, we better understand what is going on with the four horsemen. Because the fifth trumpet has already sounded. And we better pay attention, because here comes the election. I don't even want to get into there too fast, but I want to show you that things upon the earth is often symbolic. Look at Beyonce, the great whore of Babylon. Yeah, I said that. Say these Sundays. You know, we speak the truth. If you notice on her last album, she's there on the pale horse. So are we paying attention?
Yes, she's on.
Then let us get back to the book and understand the four horsemen, so we can see where we are. the signs of the times is right there before us, unless we should, you know, we just have to peep deeper into the mysteries of God and we understand. Because as we cannot set you, Hollywood brings everything for us.
Yeah. We've been lulled asleep by Christianity, unfortunately, by the Catholic Church and their intervention and interpretation to us. When I met somebody the other day, and we're talking, you know, and they're talking about, you know, Jesus Christ, he's love, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, Jesus Christ is love? You tell the demons that. Well, he wasn't a violent man. He preached it against violence. Tell the demons that. He had no mercy on demons. He was at war all the time. You know, and we should be at war all the time in prayer, supplication, and doing the right thing.
Most definitely, my brother. So as we continue within the Sunday evening conversation, the mics are open to those others in the studio. Is Mr. Ron Robinson there today?
I don't see Ron Robinson yet, but I do see 646-818. We're about to open your mic, 646-818. Get ready. We're coming to you, 646-818. Your mic is open. Welcome to the call.
Peace and blessings.
Well, welcome, Queen. I know we have to wait for you and your entourage, darling, so we were just patiently waiting for your Royal Highness. Welcome to Sadie Sunday.
What was making me laugh is the fact that you couldn't find Dr. Robinson, but you could have found me.
Well, we found you first.
Certainly did. You know, the good book says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And to really embrace the understanding of the spirit being the willing participant means that somewhere within us, that idea of God, to we must serve God in spirit and in truth. What does that mean to serve God in spirit and in truth? That tenacious spirit to understand that there is a time and a season for everything. There's a time to fight and there's a time for peace. And to wrap yourselves in the cocoon of spirit is to understand when the battle has begun. For we wrestle not in flesh, but in principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high and low places. So we keep coming back to this idea of spirit. God is a spirit. Serve God in spirit and in truth. And when we are confronted with it, we really don't quite understand spiritual warfare. And because we don't understand spiritual, we miss the mark. We miss the point. Our flesh might be able, but our spirit is able. How is it possible when spirit needs flesh? But there are things that are accomplished only in the realm that defies imagination, that defies explanation or consensus. And that is how you know that you have gotten something victorious only by the grace of God or only with the Spirit of God. Similarly, there are things that happen. And when they happen, when they happen, we can't really give a physical explanation it defies explanation. But while it defies explanation, you know that this could have only happened through the grace of God. So, you know, I was listening to you, sister, when I came in, you know, by the time I came in, you guys were well on the way within your conversation. But we have to become more serious. We have to become more serious-minded about our spiritual life, that we take serious, concerted effort to listen to the inner voice when it's speaking. You know?
Queen?
Yes, baby?
I cannot help but fall into where you have deep passion for us understanding we need to get more in tune with our spiritual selves. Because
yes,
then and only then are we able to fight battles. So just want to interject with this that sentence. So go ahead, please.
That's fine. You know, we have to, you know, some people don't dream. Some people don't dream. And some
I
don't
not like that life at all.
And some don't remember their dreams. Some discard dreams as unimportant. And nothing could be further from the truth in the sense of the importance of dreaming, the importance of that message coming through from the unknown or the unseen world. So, you know, I strive to urge my folks to pay a little attention to what's going on right now. Don't know, I believe I sent you some videos today. India recently had a fight on their hands to pull out the little rupees they have in their mattresses because it will become obsolete. And there's a scripture.
Yeah.
It was written in the Bible. We recently had that happen in Trinidad a few years ago, just a couple years ago, where people were tendering cash that they had hidden in their homes.
Not worth anything, yeah.
Africa, just a couple days ago, experienced the same thing. An exchange of monies where the banks didn't have money, the size of the money was different, and you know, it's
yep,
quote unquote, they're using the explanation, which is very plausible and acceptable for a whole lot, that this is to help with money laundering and counterfeiting and all of that. But the whole thing is really to ensure that you don't have any monies that your favorite uncle doesn't know anything about. So then we're put in a position where we're not able to really help each other except our favorite uncle is aware of it. And we have to go back to, I share with you and you share with me. And that means that we have to ensure that we acquire land and cultivate some of it so that we have something
yep,
to do with, because you cannot live without water and you cannot live without food. You could live without Nike, Armani, Ubu, all of these things. You could live in rags, you could live without clothes, but you cannot live without food. Be mindful that this is the time. You know, people telling you right now to invest in silver coins, invest in gold, invest in these things. These things are not food. There will come a time that so-called precious minerals are not really precious because they'll have no value. Ashe?
Ashe.
Ashe. I'll turn over the mic to someone else.
All right, we're
okay.
Going to keep it
moving.
Thank
you so very much for your contribution. Dr. Winborn, see who else is in the studio that we can open up for?
Before is here now, 203-515, 203-515, your mic is open.
Hello, hello.
203, yeah, testing, yes. Testing.
Yeah, Ron Robinson.
Hello. Ron Robinson, welcome to the call there, Ron Robinson. We know who Ron Robinson. Let's put that hands together for the one and only Ron Robinson.
I can't afford all those people. I hope they want a dollar each.
We welcome you, Dr. Ron Robinson. I was looking for you for a while, but it seemed that Ola BC brought you right in with her entourage.
Oh, yes. I followed my sister so well. I apologize to her because a lot of times I don't get to call her back because she is a host of information and news reports. So she's like my journalist, bringing great information, It's definitely, you know, it's something going on. There's all this money being dropped in Africa, American currency, fiat, which is not worth anything now since they went digital. I heard that since they're going digital, which is a different kind of currency, that the dollar itself, at least I know the American dollar, I think the euro is having problems as well. In all currencies across the world, they're saying that the money just doesn't have value. I don't know what the transfer of power, but I just know that a woman in, I think it's Georgia, she went and she deposited $600 in the bank, and apparently they handed a receipt, and the receipt was blank. There was no reporting on the receipt, her transaction. And so she's the older woman. She's in her 80s. Her husband, I think, is in his late 80s or early 90s. He's a colonel, retired, but he has medical concerns. And he's at the house, and she's taking care of him. So the $600 was to pay her mortgage. And so she was concerned, you know, where's my money, you know. So she drives and go back to the bank, and she asks the teller, you know, what happened with the receipt? There's no, it doesn't show my deposit. It's not there, it's not showing me anything. And the bank clerk, she was vague about her answer. And apparently she didn't know what was going on, the bank clerk. And so I guess she calls the supervisor, whoever, and he couldn't give an answer. And so the woman got upset, apparently. And the bank officer is like, okay, can you cool down, ma'am? Give me some time, whatever. But she was getting very excited because she didn't know where her $600 went. She had to pay her mortgage,
and she got home. Yeah,
and they called the cop on her, and she got arrested. Still, no answer about her money, and she has an attorney now, and she's filed a case against the bank itself.
You forgot one part. They took her to jail. This 70-80-year-old woman searched her, stripped her, and left her in the cell.
Now, mind you, her husband is the United States Colonel. And normally, they're treated a little different once you're related, you know, especially a wife of a colonel, United States Army. Like, they so love the military, as y'all well heard many times. Yeah, man. Yeah. It's criminal. And nobody is saying anything about it. There's no banking system. There's no senators, governor, or congressman, mayor, state legislator, council representative, because this is a part of legislation. This is a part of these people, the Congress, the Senate, the U.S. Senate, the state Senate, the council, the politicians. It's all a part of their process. And not nobody is saying anything about it. It's so strange. Nobody stepped up and tried to figure out, where is this woman's money? What is this final analysis? And why is she going through this turmoil? But they're saying that when February 1st came in, and we all talked about the fact that the fiat will become nada, not worth anything, and that the banking system had changed, they said. And in the changes of the banking system from electronic to digital, there was some technological implications there that was different from the usual process. And apparently the banking people do not have any further notice. So maybe they don't know. But still, the bank has a fiduciary responsibility to their depositors for their money. Once they take your money, they're responsible. FDIC insured, they have a fiduciary responsibility, a legal responsibility, and this woman shouldn't have been treated in that manner. But that's what's happening. And quite obviously, she's African-American. And there's a lot of things going on in America. There was some children, I think it was in Mississippi or Alabama, one of them places. Or maybe South Carolina, North Carolina, I'm trying to remember. Walked out of school, 207 children walked out of school because the principal said, this is African American History Month, as everybody knows. And it's been a situation where even the African American History Month is watered down. And I must say, by us as well, black people are not taking no interest in it. People have a tendency to lack one specific person. I'm going to say this, and people are going to get mad at me. And I don't care. This is America. There's some things transpired here historically. You cannot write off African Americans as if nothing happened. Okay? You can't. And you can't capitulate it to other places because that's what you don't want to hear. Africans from Africa do not want to celebrate African American history. And if we don't understand that, then that's good for anybody who wants it. Caribbean brothers and sisters do not want to particularly honor African-American people, African-American history. There's a dissension. And I'm not saying everybody. And if anybody want to challenge me, but I'm not saying everybody. But I guarantee you, I've looked this over many a time, 78% of the people who have immigrated to America have bought into the colonialistic, imperialistic, white man understanding of history. And it's unfortunate. It's so unfortunate that it's unfortunate. Because if you are an educated person, you know it's common sense to you that if you have a history and somebody divides the history and call it American History for White People and Black American History for African American People or African American History or whatever. That's stupid. Do that make sense? You have one event. History is one recording of an event that actually happened in the past. That's this recording of an event that actually happened in the past. It's history. Okay? And you cannot divide it into 10, 15 different places. And that's why America is in turmoil. That's why America is in this situation, because they're constantly, there are two people, and it's not me saying this, but it's on the news. If you're hip and you're smart, there are two wealthy people, some of them well-known, some of them unknown. Every time you look on the news, if you look on the internet, there's a white family who's the richest family in the world. How that happens? Bezos was the richest man in the world. He was a trillionaire. There was no such thing as anybody reaching the level of trillionaire but Bezos. Bill Gates was once the richest man. Warren Buffett and the Walmart store owning family, the Walmarts or what they call them, they were the richest people. And then there's a few. There's like 25 of them. And they all connect their monies to slavery. These people have an idea that they're tired of hearing about African Americans, slavery, civil rights, Dr. King. It's thrown in their face constantly during, you know, Dr. King's birthday in January and this little short month here that they call African American History Month. And two things are thrown at you and here and there, there and there. But I know for a fact that 50,000, I repeat, 50,000 inventions were invented by African Americans that affected not only here but the world. Immigration. There was no substantive immigration before 1965 and when Dr. King implemented the Civil Rights Act. And in that act, it was an act of the right to immigrate people of color into America. And some of the ethnic whites from Europe have benefited. But people say, people go out and say, oh, Dr. King didn't do anything. But he just implemented some things where you can sit on the bus and you can go into the restaurant and you can go to the bathroom. No, it's more deeper than that. The man had more common sense than that. He stressed internationally. He made changes not only here, but he made it in India. He made it in the Caribbean, and he made it in Africa, and so forth and so on. It was an internet. I don't know why America has this influence on the world, but when America sneezes, everybody gets a cold. Okay? So, common sense things. If somebody is hiding something, somebody is belittling somebody, and they look just like you, I think that you would be interested in knowing what the concerns are. If I move right now to any place and people look black like me and somebody's misusing them, I would be concerned going to that place, because what do they, people think that one person is going to get treated better than another person, and we all look alike, we all come from the same place, we all African, as you understand it. And so a part of the destruction of black people is that we are destructive ourselves. There's a whole bunch of stuff now being taught about African Americans. Give you an example. In California, mega people, KKK Nazis goes into Oakland, California, yelling and screaming with signs and making all kind of chaos. the Crips and the Bloods in Oakland did nothing. A brother wearing blue goes into the Bloods area where they wear red handkerchiefs to identify themselves, and the Crips wear blue, whatever that whole deal is. But the kid goes into Oakland, California with a blue handkerchief in the back of his pocket, signifying that he'd probably be a Crip. They start shooting at that kid. But these knucklehead white supremacists, KKK Nazis, go into Oakland. The mega people, Donald Trump's representatives, go into Oakland and raise all kind of hell, and these same black people do nothing. And then there's a brother going around. He's a little raw. He's a little sweet. He's a little country. Charles White. And he's telling them, nigga, you will not do a damn thing to that white man, but you will shoot me before God gets the message. And he goes on a radio show, and he started talking, and then they all start pulling out guns. I don't understand it. We are so defensive against each other. We are so trying to be better than one another, trying to support this white supremacist bullshit because we feel we need to be better than the next black man. I don't understand it. If one rise, we all rise. If one is protected, we all protect it. If the truth is told by one, it's for all of us. We're in different ships, but we're the same ship, but we got left in different places. And so until the day that we decide that we want to do something together and make a change, there ain't going to be no change. So I can see the discrepancy in us. I can see the white man, these few white people who are planned. Bill Gates already said many a times, there's all these people out here. He never called them out, but he identifies their social deficiencies. He says there's all these people out here. They just get welfare, get sick, get alcoholic, become drug addicted, become homeless, and they're a burden to the society. They're walking down the street. You know, they're muggers, they're rapists, they're thieves, they're killers. They're pedophiles. They just the worst thing in society. They're the social fabric of society being destroyed. They're homosexual. They're LGBT. They're transgending, and they're gay, and they're lesbian, and they're recruiting our children for gay and lesbianism, and we're having all these problems. And we need to get rid of these people. But don't people understand that those things causes those things make people say, yes, you should do that. Candace Owen now. Candace Owen that goes around and a former police officer, Thomas, whatever his name is, are going around saying black people can create all the, these are black people. You got a conservative black percentage of people. This guy, I forgot his name, but he got on a national television. He's a Republican conservative, and he said Tyree Nichols got killed because a black single woman is running the police department, and black single women creates these monsters. These black single women create these thugs and muggers and killers and gangbangers because they don't have a functional family. And there's no man in the house, so the boy gets mad. There's no man, and he don't have any level of respect for authority. He don't know how to treat his anybody in authority because he has no authority to respect to. So he said the problem is black single women who have these tremendous amounts of percentages of running these households where these boys are in there, and they don't have any proper upbringing. And that's the problem. And every conservative in America said, wow, you're right, that's true. That's crap. But if you was to look at the surface of everything and not the internal facts, you might say, wow, black kid growing up in a single family household in the projects, 9 times out of 10, he's a drug addict, he's an alcoholic, he's homeless, he's a thief, he's a liar, he's a killer, he's disruptive in class, he's dysfunctional, he has mental incapacity, he's not capable to do the work at the school, and he's disruptive, and he's all of that. And you will go to the school, and the school will give you the logistics of the prototype of the children that they have problems with. President Clinton said, any place, check the statistics, he said, any place where there's a school and there's a high level of disciplinary actions against children, and a lot of children fell on a large number, and a lot of children are thrown out, a lot of children fail, 9th grade, 8th grade, 7th grade, a lot of children, a high level of dropout, high level of expansions, high level of kids being put out of school. Bill Clinton said, build a jail, because that kid is a model for a rapist, a killer, a murderer, a gangbanger, a drug dealer, an alcoholic. He's going to be addicted to drugs. He's going to be a vile entity in society, and you need to build your jails near those schools and in those districts, because Bill Clinton said that is the ingredients to make you these dysfunctional people. So here we are, 2023. We got more jails than we got school systems. The school systems are constantly failing the kids. Teachers are fighting kids like they fighting each other, like kids fight each other. I don't understand this. A kid come up to you and say, hey, yo, my nigga, I don't want to do the work. And the teacher turns around and says, yeah, but you better sit the F down, my nigga, because I'm going to knock this guy out of the head. Now they're fighting. I don't understand that. I don't know why a teacher got engaged in that kind of communication with a child. It don't make sense. They don't have security anymore. They don't have principals anymore, assistant principals, counselors in the school anymore. Teachers can't say, call the security guard, or, you know, it's just getting totally out of hand. So the dysfunctionality is created by those who control everything, and they keep spending money to continue to destroy the community. They keep spending money. They keep this rap music going. They keep the rap music is saying the same thing over and over again. Kill the effing bees and the niggers, and everybody is a hoe, and everybody's a drug addict, everybody's a nigger, and everybody ain't got nothing going on, and the whole world is destructive. So these little children in the back of their mommy and daddy car dancing and enjoying this music, and they got the kids, little two-year-old kids, twerking and dancing and getting involved in this music. And then we looked at the society and we said, what happened? What happened? What happened is there ain't no adults. There is no role model. Nobody wants to be a role model. Nobody wants to be an elder. Nobody wants to take responsibility. So here we are today in a mess.
And you got a point.
Yeah, the mess can be considered abundance of people. We have to take responsibility. I said one thing, and the brother said this on the other day on the television. He said one thing people got to do, you got to take responsibility for yourself. I don't give a damn if you live in the worst neighborhood in America, you're the poorest person, your mother's on welfare, your father's a drug addict. That does not mean you have to behave in a certain way. My granddaddy had a third grade education. He said, just because you're poor, you don't have to be dirty. He meant evil, mean. He meant by your hygiene and your behavior and your mouth, the way you talk and how you act. We were poor, but we were respectful. We were clean. Our communities were clean. Okay? And I came up in South Carolina. You thought you was in the upper middle class neighborhood, because we kept the lawns clean. We kept the neighborhood clean. We took care of our homes. but we all own homes. We live in projects and all that kind of stuff in the South. We own homes. And everybody took with pride in what they own and took with pride in what they were doing. People don't take pride into ownership no more, and people don't take pride in their neighborhoods, and people don't take pride where they live. The projects is falling apart, and the people in the projects do everything that's vile. They urinate and do stuff in the hallway. They throw dirty baby Pampers out the window. They throw food out the window. They throw it in the thing. The elevator broke half the time. It's like Tel Aviv during the war. It's destructive. And then we sit around and we all talking about, well, how this happened? Well, it's a combination of people implementing destructive behavior, and it's a combination of people accepting it. Because some people accept because they make millions of dollars, millions and billions of dollars, and others accept it because that's their mentality, that's their environment, that's all they know. Welcome to America, 2023.
You know something, my brother? In the 60s, when they had open enrollment for college, you know, so I was a part of that, and the families, the brothers and sisters would go to college and for the 2 years, and after 2 years, they would be able to get a job, you know, with the city, state, federal government, you know, and some went on better, became politicians and stuff like that. After they closed the open enrollment program, there were a lot of people that were home, okay, trying to keep up with the Joneses. Then you had the latchkey kids. The latchkey kids were the kids that were going to school and what have you, but their mothers and fathers were working so much to keep things up. There was nobody home to supervise the children. And then they grew up, all right, a little better than their parents, but their kids grew up worse off. When you wind up in a situation where your kid doesn't fear you, in other words, respect you, fear the Lord, you know, doesn't respect you, and this sister said on a talk show one day and said, listen, you know, we were afraid to get home, and our mothers and fathers give us a whooping, or the teacher writes a note to our mothers and fathers. We're afraid. She said, but these kids ain't afraid of nothing. So these kids are putting the fear in their parents' hearts, in their teachers' hearts. The teachers are trying to get with the students. We know one story of a teacher that had sex with a student, and they kicked her out of school and everything else, and 4 years later, she wound up marrying the same boy, you know. But the fear, there's no reverence to family or life, you know, in these Americas. And when immigrants come here, and I've had a lot of different cultures that I could counsel, they want to give their child everything that they didn't have. And then when they do that, the child don't respect the work ethic. They wind up in jail, hanging out, spending their parents' money or what's supposed to be their money or what have you. So the culture of the United States of America, you got different types of enslavement. And if you don't have a good foundation coming in and you can't keep that foundation as an immigrant, and most immigrants do, try to, you're gonna have people in jail. You know, it's sitting there for us. They know that a percentage of us are going to wind up paying the city's dole. You know, and they can make more prisons in more prisons, invest in toilet paper, you know, and so on. And that's where we are. To get that respect, to get these kids back to where, and I'm not saying all of them are like that. The media blows up a lot. The music industry, the athletic industry, what have you. You know, you want to be good, you got to do this. It's easy to be an engineer, to be an athlete, a known athlete. But nobody's teaching us, you know. So we have a long way to go. And it may be another four generations, God willing, before that's changed. But there has to be a new a foundation put into place where that respect comes back, that knowledge of self and interest of knowledge of self comes back, you know. And that's a work. It's like starting back over again. We're in the 60s again. You know?
Well, the new governor, African-American governor, first African-American governor of Maryland, he's implementing a program where kids would have to have the opportunity to go from high school to a initial program. I think before graduation out of high school, they're going to initial program where you get some kind of work study, background, Well, that's needed. That's necessary, and that's needed as well. So,
I want to clarify something when we speak about immigrants. We have people who are country folk who immigrated here, and we have people who are city folk.
Yep.
And likewise, people who are Americans who are from down south,
mm-hmm.
and there are Americans who were born and raised in the city.
Yep.
And you find a comparative value system among those who are country folk, whether they're in the Americas or in the Caribbean, and same with the city folk. The land has a lot to do with it, and I'll tell you why and how, especially for the Caribbean folk, because I'm a Caribbean country, proud country, as they call me, country bookie. I'm proud country bookie. When we are in the country, we have access to food. We have access to abundance. And when I say abundance, we might be in T-shirts and shorts that have holes, but we had access to food. We have mangoes, we have papaya, we have fat pork, we have kinet, we have chapadilla, we have soursop, we have so much food that we are never hungry. We don't know what hungry means because we are able to go outside and eat fruits from the trees to sustain ourselves. As a matter of fact, because we were able to do that, when we are on holiday break, we try not to be home. Soon as we get to leave that house, we're gone for the day because we survive off of the land.
Yeah.
We're not getting into trouble. We're picking mangoes. Nobody's coming to quarrel with you for picking mangoes. Now, in recent times, you have people who are more territorial about their stuff. But back in my day, people were not so territorial. Oh, this is my land, and what are you doing on it? We were free to eat from the neighbor's yard without repercussions. When you compare the city folk, who for them survival means facing the store, it means going to the store to purchase, whether it's the same things, mangoes, oranges, whatever, they have to face the store. And without finances, that's where our problem comes in, you know, where there's a disparity in the finance to access food versus the ability to go outside with freedom and access food. So you find that when they're striving to access food here in the city, it's become theft. They're told that they're stealing. All they're doing is accessing food, but they're called thieves. They're locked up, incarcerated. You understand? One time, two times, there's that guy who stole that tin of sardine that spend how many years in jail and still probably sitting there. That's the difference. And when Bob Marley say, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? When you are so far from your origin in terms of, because even when we were in Africa, before we were enslaved, we pretty much had access to food. We never
and that's
had
why white people.
From each other.
Yeah, and that's why white people came in, because we had everything.
Precisely. But, so when they saw that abundance, that's where they realized, wait a minute. No, we should have this. We should make them do this for us. And when you have people like Candace and others who are saying, oh, well, we don't need reparations and we don't need this and we don't need that, you have people who are city people who have no idea of how to survive except get a job. They don't know how to use their hands. People stand up and admire me cutting a coconut in my hand. And that's like, what are you admiring? What is there to cut in a coconut open? But this is amazing to somebody who's not accustomed using a machete.
Yeah.
And a city folk, I look at city folks, sometimes they could barely handle a knife in the kitchen, much more to handle a machete. And that's where we are having difficulty, in that you have a whole lot of people born and raised in an environment that is not conducive to survival. And they are dependent on so many different services, electricity, water. It's not like they go in and fetch water from a stream like some of us had to do back in the country. Nobody's charging you for water that you're fetching from the stream. But because you're in the city and you are ill-equipped to find a reliable source of water, you're forced to buy water. If you have no money, what would you do? When we are looking, because a lot of times the narrative is pushed, you know, that you have Caribbean people who come and take jobs. The jobs that Caribbean people come and do, some are well equipped to handle it here. We are accustomed to village life from the youngest to the oldest. You have children running around. Everybody is each other's keeper. And again, as I said, this is only the country folk I'm referring to. Because if you were to go into the city, if you go into the cities, even in my country, the life is a whole totally different thing. Because nobody's looking out for anybody. I mean, you might have a few people who might have come from the country who might throw an eye, but the truth is they got to face the store. And because they got to face the store for survival, without money, it becomes a problem. If you have kids playing, and they, you know, some yards are bigger than others. If you have kids playing in your yard and you're going to cook, let's say, saltfish and green figs and dumplings, you cut a, you pick an extra hand of green figs and you put it in the fire. And you feed everybody. There's no such thing as you go home to eat. Wherever you are going to be fed. And similarly, from what I understand, country in America is the same. But the facing same. The store is where things become difficult. And we have to really, we have to understand that. Because we're here, they don't know how to use their hands. You have to live in an apartment that is built and maintained by others. When you're in the country, whether you're in Trinidad or you're down south, you have an old rickety house. Who's fixing that? Do you need a licensed carpenter and a licensed plumber and a licensed electrician to fix stuff that's broken around your house in the country? No, you don't. You
even
fix it the best you can.
Yourself.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, Queen, I've been looking at I look at the Africa Channel and other channels, and I see these sisters who have gone back home, and whether it's in the South here or, you know, in Jamaica or Trinidad, and they've bought land, and they're living off the land. Not interested, you know, not interested in the city so much, but they go and they get their goats and their fowl and so on. And they're on YouTube or what have you, you know, showing how they live, where they get their water from, lakes, streams, and stuff like that, you know. And I'm looking at that. I'm looking at it. I'm saying, wow, I'm really jealous, you know.
Because, you're jealous until you got to walk with that bucket of water on your head.
I see them with the land. I see what my father, well, on my mother's side, they used to have 450 acres of land. They lost it. On my father's side, twice as much. They were sharecroppers, and they wind up with the land, you know. But as people started moving away, you know, my father comes from a family of 15 children. You know, they had work. You know,
they wanted to put in with that farm.
Yeah, you know, and so on. But when people start leaving the farm and coming to north, coming to Chicago and New York, you know, and so on, where there were jobs, you know, that paid well, rather than keeping the land, you know, to go back to. A lot of factors
we leave out when we look at conditioning. In South Carolina, everything Sister Olabisi said, we experienced. I experienced myself personally in the 50s growing up in South Carolina. I didn't know what candy was. And I know people that sound crazy to people living in America until I was 15, 16 years old, because we lived off the land. But let me explain something. Everything they did in the Caribbean, for the most part, they did in Africa, for the most part, we did in America, in the South,
because
we lived in that rural country living, like Trinidad. When I went to Trinidad, I was so welcome, and I was so comfortable because I'm experienced with that. Maybe some Americans who lived in New York all their life, lived in that city life, could not handle living in the actual. I mean, you go to Trinidad, you go to the tourism area, you know, that's fine. But if you go where the folks are, and you get to experience the real good food, the real good life, the real good everything, which is what I love about visiting different countries. I found so many similarities in what we did in South Carolina back in the 50s.
Yeah.
Something what they do in the Caribbean, something what they do in Africa when I go to the villages. But the thing about it is this. African-Americans, whatever we did was capitulated by a government that did not support us. I try to explain to people, it's different when you're in a nourishing environment, when your government is trying to help you survive. Your government is not constantly trying to destroy you. We were constantly, African American was told we couldn't go to their school, so we built our own school. Then they decided they didn't want us to have a school, period. They said we couldn't eat in their restaurant. We built our own restaurant. Then they said our restaurants was something wrong with it. When they said we couldn't live on their land, like Ron said, we bought our own land. I remember when I was growing up, my grandfather on both sides had thousands of acres of land, farmed and was doing very well. But the government came in and said, well, look, you can't do this, you can't do that. And the white farmers became competitive against the black farmers. And you cannot win in a society where the government is supporting a racist behavior, where the government is implementing laws since the beginning of time. You know, Dr. King talked about, you know, America releasing the slaves in 1863, but they didn't give them nothing. Do people understand that? Do people understand what it is? You know, it's different going up in the country where you're being nervous, you got certain you're getting certain resources getting to you. Like Sister Olabisi said, those things were there for Trinidadians. Nobody was taking it away from them. No government was withholding things for them because they hated them, because of racism, because of slavery, because of that institution of Jim Crow laws. They implemented Jim Crow laws after slavery so they can continue to do what? Enslave the people. So Dr. King said, listen, when they gave out land,
okay.
When they were giving out land, And they decided they were going to give, they were going to get 10 acres or whatever it is with those mules, 10 acres, 40 acres in a mule, that thing. That was real. That was governmental policy. That was real. But when the poor Europeans came in, they took it from the black and they gave it to the Europeans. So it was a constant, it's in America for us, it's a constant battle to try to survive and get things done because the government is against you. That's a whole nother ball game. That's a whole nother kind of struggle. And it's been that way since ever. And it's the same way today. Everything we achieve, they tear it down because they want to control everything. So we're competing against the white American, the black American, the white American. We've been competing for the last 400 years for the resources, the finances, the development, the businesses. If you watch over a period of years, we're always competing. There's never a situation where white American and black American can come together and just work together and equal share of the resources according to one's ability to get it. When we start to get it, they tore it down. We had everything between 1900 and 1930, okay? When they found out Black Wall Street, they found out all these successful black farmers, they tore it down because they didn't want us to have anything. So our struggle always not been that we're not resourceful or we're not trying to do our own thing. We've been doing our own thing forever. The only thing we haven't done, what we should have done, when Dr. King was explaining that we were not given anything, how in the hell can you enslave people for 244 years, enslave people, and then you free them, and you don't give them nothing? Nada. And then when you promise them something, and poor peasants come from Europe, Eastern Europe, poor peasants start coming in around that 1860, then they started giving the land that they promised to 40 acres and a mule to the blacks. They gave it to the Europeans because they're constantly trying not to. This government is constantly trying not to support us. They've been trying to destroy us. And so you're in that environment. And then we've been fighting and trying to survive in the condition of being in a part of a system. You don't have damn sense enough. And I always say this, African Americans, they got any damn sense. Get your independence, get your sovereignty, and separate so that you can divide the resources naturally. You can't divide the resources when you're under the resources and you're trying to get the same resource that they got, okay, that they're controlling. We're trying to get that resource. We're trying to capitulate everything that they have. We're trying to get it, and they're saying, nah, you cannot have what I have. My father had this 400 years ago or 300 years. Now they're saying that their great-great-great-great-grandfather gave that to them, and they worked hard for it, and they came from Europe, and they suffered and died, and now this belongs to them. And we're saying that we also suffered and died. We also participated. We ran. We did it. We worked hard for nothing and ain't got nothing. So we feel reparations. We feel that we own land. We feel like we owe certain things by the American government. The American government is saying, hell no. We're not going to do that now in 2023. It's not possible for us to divide. There are too many poor communities, too many poor white communities. There are 230 million whites compared to 48 million African-Americans. And there are too many poor whites to take care of now. They can't just stop and think about African-Americans and their problems and their reparations and the Republicans are saying. So here we are fighting a losing battle. People control all resources are white, and the people have a tremendous need is white. And when you come down to it, they're going to take care of each other. I don't care, Democrat, liberal to the core. I don't care, Republican, conservative to the core. White people are going to take care of white people. When they see white people suffering, they're going to stop it. Once in a white people, as you can see in America today, every time white people, the state where white people get disasters, the president runs and he gives millions of dollars, billions of dollars, whatever it is, to rebuild that place and to put those people back together. They take care of each other. Now, yeah, there's some nice white people that don't deny black people everything, but out of 100%, they ain't going to give you 50-50. Welcome to America. White America is not going to give so-called black America 50% of everything that belongs to them, even 100% of what belongs to them, they're not going to give it to us. And we have to divide and separate so that we can get our equal share, what we should have, and don't have to constantly fight, and go through all this crap. That's why we're in the condition that we are. That's why people are welfare recipients, unemployed, homeless, the highest level of mental unhealth, the highest level of drug addiction and alcoholism, mental, homeless, high school dropout, you name it. We have the worst conditions in the African-American community, but it's not by natural order. It's by design. They ain't trying to do anything for us. The Republicans don't give a damn. And
this instruction that says thou should not do this and thou should not do that and thou should not do a host of that everybody else is doing.
And the Democrats is give you a whole bunch of lip service. The white Democrats, all they do is talk. They sound nice. They seem like they're reasonable, but it's a whole bunch of talk. Nothing written on paper, nothing written legislatively. No bills are being changed. African Americans got to wake up and stop being so stupid and pitiful to every little nickel and dime that these people throwing you. They're getting hundreds of millions and they're giving you the leftover pennies. I ain't gonna live like that. I'm gonna tell. That's why it's right now. It's like tell it like a TI is, or shut the hell up. If you can't tell it like the facts, get the data. Give me the data. I hear so many people just talking, but give me. I go look for the percentages. I go see how many is this, how many is that. I look for the data. I look for the information, because when you go out there and you argue these points, you need to know what the percentage of people doing this, what the percentage of people doing that, what the percentage of this is happening versus that happened. Because if you can't give these politicians and these people data and percentages and facts, these people ain't going to listen to you. But I'm just saying, we in a vile environment. We've been here 400-something years. It's time for us to wake up and tell these people to hell with this. It's not working. Let me have my freedom. Keep your damn reparations, but give me my damn freedom. What that white man that said many years ago, give me freedom or give me liberty or give me death. God damn it, give me liberty or give me death. And what that old Negro hymn say, before I be a slave, I be wrapped up in my grave. Well, damn it, I'm willing to die for my freedom. I'm tired of being tired of being tired. It's time for a few of us, maybe 1 million of us, 2 million of us that got common sense to get together and tell these crackers, listen, it's over. The wedding, the honeymoon, everything is over. I'm divorcing you. It's not going to work. Give me my freedom. Keep every damn thing you want to keep. Just give me my freedom. So one thing about us black folks, wherever we come from, and I'm talking about Caribbean, Africa, Asia, Europe, wherever black people is, we can survive. We can create. We can change. We can make a success. We don't need these people. We don't need their reparations. They don't want to give us reparations. Keep their damn reparations. Let's move on. Let's move on. I want to move on with just a half a block or living on the corner of the street, because it's time for men to stand up and be men and protect their community, protect their women, protect their children. There's too much violence and things going on in the community that we are messing up as well. And so we're capitulating, you know, the bad behavior. But it just, for me, this relationship, this what they call this great experiment, this pot, what they call it, the melting pot or bringing everybody together, the America's a great experiment. The experiment for me is failed. It's not successful. And it's not going to be successful, not for us. Black, you're going to get a few people, yes, going to make it, because the white man going to try to put a few up there for the show, for the finale, okay? But that's not real. It's not real. It's not real at all, y'all. So we need to just break away, get independent. For those of us, I'm saying this, for those Negroes that want to stay, y'all, I'm not messing with y'all. If y'all want to stay, y'all making money, y'all having a good time, yo, stay. But the government need to give those of us who want independence and sovereignty our identification cards, giving us freedom from this mess. It's a mess. And I don't see out of these 73 years I've been in this mess, I don't see it getting any better, y'all. I don't. It's getting worse and worse. And the bad thing about it, brothers and sisters, we participate in the bull. We black people, majority of us, I'm going to say, participate in the bull as long as we can get a cup of soup and a bowl of rice. Come on, y'all. It's got to stop. I'm sorry. You know, that's the way I feel about it.
The only thing I disagree with, Dr. Robinson, I don't think I should leave with nothing. That's the one thing. When you say, I'm just going to leave, take everything and I'm just going to leave. No, because you need to start with something. That's like a woman in a house.
I'm saying that we're the type of people. Look at us, black people, wherever you go. You know,
mm-hmm.
I love every black man, every black woman. I just talk the real, what I feel about what I see. But I love black people because one thing about us, and I've been all over, thank God, before I died, I've been most places in Africa and the Caribbean, and sisters and brothers are beautiful people. They're welcoming. They're very resourceful. The sister just sent the pictures from Guadalupe. And look at the brothers and sisters living. They're peaceful. They're kind. They're considerate. They're helping each other. Okay, you don't find that in every place. And these are countries where there's very few resources. But I'm saying us as a people, if we have to go, and when I say with nothing, I mean that whatever they think that we should have took from them or what we're trying to get from them, I'm just saying that we are so powerful. Because when I leave, I'm going to take what belongs to me. Whatever God blessed me with, $1 million, house, a mansion, a car, whatever, I'm taking my, they ain't taking my things. Because the things I accumulated, I'm taking those with me. But I'm saying this to say this. We are such a resourceful people that we could build kingdoms. We are queens and we are kings and we are builders and we are scientists. If black people, all of us, I'm talking about every one of us, if we walk away from America, Asia, they will be devastated. They won't have nothing because we created everything. We created them, and they like bad children with bad behavior. You dig where I'm coming from? I'm so 100,000% sure that black folks can build from nothing right now, 2023. Give us a piece of wood. And we'll build a house. We're powerful. God has blessed us. God ain't going to let nobody turn us around, and God ain't going to let us suffer. God is with us. We are blessed people, and we can do this together. And I'm 100% sure all of us together, every one of us, is no one person important than the next. There are conditions, there are circumstances, there are things in history that happen that have nothing to do with me, Ron Robinson. I didn't ask to be a colored man in America. I didn't ask to be a Negro. I didn't ask to be a black. I didn't ask to be a black American, African American. I didn't ask for all that. That came into, like Malcolm X said, Plymouth Rock landed on me. I didn't land on Plymouth Rock. But they, just my brothers and sisters, I'm here. And they gave me, they called me Ron Robinson. They told me where I came from. They gave me a religion, and they gave me an ethnicity called African American. Got nothing to do with me. It was given to us. So we have to get to differentiate and understand the difference in that, too. All the stuff is given. All the stuff, and it's given for a purpose. They call you African-American people for a purpose. It's not an accident. Go Google. You can Google every damn thing and it come right up. Go Google it and see. Everything is for a purpose. America is slicker than Greece. They got everything articulated together, and they're using you like a pawn in their hand. And they know when you divorce from them and they no longer get child support, they no longer get alimony, they're destitute. They know where their money comes from. They know who made the money, who the money belonged to. We got $2.1 trillion we give to the gross national product. You think if we take that money and walk away, what's going to happen to the American economy? It's going to collapse. The biggest investors, the biggest financial investors in this country say, if the African American, if the black people, Spanish, blah blah blah, if they just discapitulate from the capitalism and the consumerism, we're gonna have nothing. They know it.
Mm-hmm.
They continue to abuse you. Why? Because you ain't smart enough to understand your position, and they know that. They got your head and your mind, and they're pimping you. That's what they're doing. You the hoe and they the pimp. Excuse my language, ladies, but that's what it is. Come on now, y'all. Wake up.
Have you ever listened to Swamp Dog music? Are you familiar with it?
I've heard it, yeah. I heard some of it, yeah.
S-W-A-M-P-D-O-G-G.
Yes.
Try listening to Synthetic World.
Okay.
And see what you just said.
you can link me in with some of that.
His music was banned in the U.S. because one of his songs, God Bless America, was based on the Vietnam War, which he protested. And a lot of his songs, well, none of his music was played here, but we were fortunate in Trinidad to have a little bit of tenacity to listen to it. Just check out his music, Swamp Dog.
Okay.
But dog with a double G.
He got something on YouTube, right?
Yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does.
Swamp. S W A
M P D O G G.
Okay.
Right, back to you, Sadie Gomez. We're almost at the top of the hour.
Well, I thank you so very much that I am having a double co-host tonight, or triple co-host. I'm such a lucky girl. And the show went on, and the show went on. I didn't want to interrupt. I stand by closely, but I know we end up with Swamp Dog, and then I started to think of my parents, and then I started to think, my God, we often become our parents. So here you are, Queen, giving us, what should we say, a blast of the past, because that was our parents' music.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yes, so we were the little girls and we listened to the LPs playing the 33s and the 45s.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that came from. So I was having a bit of nostalgia. So I don't think the hostess left and go anywhere. But I muted myself. I don't disturb the romance, because I know oftentimes when Dr. Ron Robinson has an opportunity to laser the Queen, he takes her over. So I'm silent. He's just blushing here in the background. So I am here. I know we're coming to the top of the hour, but I didn't want to interrupt the last time. So you want to see how generous I am. I am so generous, my darling. So, you know, it's all about love. It's all about Sadie Sunday, where we can tell the truth and observe the truth, and of course, the truth shall set us free. We often touch on scripture, and we touch on everything, we touch about life, and we get a little controversial, especially when the Queen comes about, because she likes to throw a monkey wrench here and there. Queen is always a great pleasure to have you, because we know sometimes you're a troublemaker, but we love the troubles, because we know that two troubles is better than one. So I myself shall not be innocent in this department. So I say, Queen, thank you for joining me, and of course my brother Ronald Robinson, and of course Dr. Winburn, who is so in the background, probably has his foot all stretched back and enjoying the women, how they could carry on. But you know, of course, Dr. Winburn, you know, my prayers are forever with you, knowing that you are holding a big position, and of course the burden is on your shoulder, but we are here to alleviate some of your problems, a little fun on Sundays, and of course, you know, we got your back. The woman auxiliary, or you know, if you have the women behind you, you're in good hands. It's like Geico,
mm-hmm.
right? So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we are at the top of the hour. Another wonderful Sadie Sunday. This is Sadie Gomez, the Ethiopian World Federation. Woman Auxiliary, Local 26. A wonderful Sadie Sunday. I'm just saying a really warm and pleasant good night to you all. And please
good
join
night.
Me again next Sunday as we continue with love and family and all the things. Remember, speak the truth, it will set you free. So
you know, we actually had 3 minutes, right?
but listen, you know, sis, when you said 3 minutes, I would like to go over the 6 o'clock hour, because with 3 minutes, a lot of people can have so much fun. You know, there can be happy endings in 3 minutes. Or they will not be so sufficient for us, because, you know, Well, after we have 2 hours to party, 3 minutes will not do us any good. So we appreciate every ounce of time that we spend together. So we take the 3 minutes and we can just talk.
And I'll give my beloved just one verse from one of his songs. Oh, what a joke is the Statue of Liberty. When the Indians on the reservation and black folks still ain't free.
Right.
I give you enough for you to go check him out.
Oh, man. Now you're
really
excited.
Well, somebody having pleasant dreams tonight. It's going to be sweet dreams.
Hey, listen, I would want to preach after that. That's the oh, man.
I am just saying.
He said, and then we're singing, God bless America, unless they know one more. Somebody tell somebody.
You see the kind of entertainment you're getting. I was going to have to charge you all for this kind of Madison Square Garden performance.
Oh, God. That's
how we start our weekend this side of town.
You understand, girl?
We should say Happy New Week to everybody. I mean, look how great a start.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to be loving that music.
Well, what a great introduction.
Oh, man. Listen, you got my vote. I'm going to go out there. You got my dollar. Yes.
All right.
Wonderful. Powerful.
Passe bonne nuit, everyone.
Well, wonderful. So just say the thing. Good night.
Listen to these words. People come. People go. Your life has been out of control. You're confused. But don't worry.